Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime. KK and Lo, how's it going?
It is actually a very beautiful day here in Oxford, Michigan.
I know, literally, the temperature thing said it was like 68 degrees out.
We just got back from Frosty Boy. If you're from the Oxford community, you know the Frosty Boy. The whole community was just there. I kid you not. Like, everybody.
Oh, I bet. Like, the first days when it starts to get warm, I feel like everybody goes to, like, the favorite, like, ice cream spots.
It's because you can sit just getting outside. You can go for a walk, bring the dogs. And then, yeah, so we bring Phoebe. Charlotte's like, let's get a pup cup. I'm like, okay. Sweet. Come on, Phoebe. Let's go. And then there's too many choices on the menu. Charlotte can. And I kind of feel that too. Sometimes when there's so many choices, you're just like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, it's like, which one do I even pick?
So she's like, I don't know what I want yet. You go ahead and order. So then I ordered. And then I'm like, Charlotte, come on. So then she orders like a banana split. And I'm like, okay, I didn't see that coming. And then we totally forgot to get Phoebe ice cream.
Oh, I'm man. Like
the worst dog mom ever.
Phoebe's like, what the heck? You gypped me out of ice cream, Mom.
Well, she was happy she had her head out the window for the drive, so she got that going for her.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she was probably just happy to get out, and it was nice out, too.
But it was very nice out. The sun was shining. Charlotte had another tryout of softball. She came home feeling kind of good about it, but we're not really talking about it a lot. We're not going to jinx it. We're not going to overhype it because it could go either way, you know.
Right.
So just kind of,
well, I'm sending my positive vibes to her for it.
Thanks.
And everybody listening, you send your positive vibes for her too.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Although the time they hear this, we'll already have an answer.
Oh. Either way, positive vibes are appreciated. No matter what the situation.
Absolutely. I get to watch the reunion of Love is Blind tonight. Finally, at 9 o'clock, it comes out on Netflix.
Oh my gosh. I need to get on that because this is like the first, or no, this is the second season that I haven't watched. But this season, everybody's hyping it up. Everybody's saying it's so good. And like, I need to just get on it because I need to binge watch it immediately.
So, yep. I'm waiting for it. I was like, oh, it's on Wednesday. Cool. I'll watch it while I eat dinner. Not till 9 o'clock. I'm like, seriously, they're really dragging it out.
I know. And they used to, like, when the show like first came out, they would release everything at once, I feel like. Like mm-hmm. all the episodes, like only one time. So then you can watch it in like literally one or two nights if you wanted to. But now it's like, oh, you gotta wait until next week. And it's like, what? This isn't like freaking CBS, like, this is Netflix. You're supposed to drop it all at once.
Kidding. I paid the extra money so I can binge.
Yeah. Like, where's the binge part? Ridiculous. So
we were in the car and Pat was like, or maybe we're not, I don't know where we were, but Pat's like, oh, Goldie Hawn is going to be on Dax Shepard Armchairs. I said, yeah, I know. I said, I'm super pumped to listen to it. And I was like, and who are you to tell me something about Dax Shepard? Do you think there's things that me and Kay don't know about Dax? I'm like, we know like everything about him. Okay. I was like, and he's like, yeah, because you guys are stalkers. I'm like, no, just great fans. Okay. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, well, I'm following him now. I'm like, yeah, now you are. We've been following him for years. Okay. I'm like, don't come at me with that. I'm like, telling me what's going on with Dax. I know what's going on with Dax.
That's so funny. He thought that he had like the inside scoop to give you. He's like, ooh, listen to what I know. And you're like, I already knew, dude. I already knew.
If you were a true fan, you would have known that Kate and Oliver already did it. And Wyatt and Russell was just on like a couple episodes back. So there you go. So she's finishing with the family, except how, okay. So it's one thing to have, okay, Goldie and Kurt were successful actor and actresses, right? Beautiful couple. I love them. They're a couple of goals for me, right?
Oh, like, absolutely.
Relationship goals. Like, yeah. I love them. Kate, She's beautiful. She's an actress. She just released a new song that's such a vibe. Okay. Her brother's act. Okay. They're all successful, right? This Super Bowl, their dog made it in a Clydesdale Budweiser commercial. You're famous all the way down to your dog is now successful.
No.
Can they please adopt me?
Literally.
How do I get into this family?
Literally, adopt me or something, because I mean, to have that amount of success between everybody is just like so unheard of. Because there's so many like famous families, but like, you know, there's a few that don't really make it into like the famous world.
But they're never in the tabloid for terrible things.
Nope.
Their relationships are, you know, I mean, I think Kate has an ex-husband, but it doesn't sound like it was a terrible thing. It just, you know, whatever, they went separate ways. But I mean, Goldie and Russell, like I said, people love strive them. To have that relationship. Okay.
Oh, love them.
Goldie Hawn and Kate are both very sweet and soft people, like just very caring. And Goldie's just got this free spirit about her that I wish I had. Just listening to her talk to Dax, and I did her autobiography a while back. I listened to her and Kate's, and I'm just like, they're just such amazing women. Like, they're just so cute. They live like a couple miles from each other, so they ride their bikes to each other's houses to see them. They're just so cute. I'm like
the wholesomeness of it is what I just love. And also, like, Kate is literally her twin. Like, they're twins. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, Goldie's had like work done or whatever throughout the years, but like down to the DNA core, they are twins.
Oh my gosh. I love them both. I just actually seen a scene that popped up on my Instagram. It was like a TikTok or something. The scene of Goldie Hawn and, oh my gosh, I forget her name, but it's when they were doing the salt and pepper dance scene from Something Borrowed. Have you ever seen the movie Something Borrowed?
Yes, I have.
They're dancing in her living room. I've seen it a long time ago. Okay. Well, anyways, that scene just popped up again. I was like, oh my God. I remember the first time I saw it. I was like, that's just like a fun, cool, cute scene. But
I love them. Oh my gosh.
But anyways, yeah, we just did free advertisement for Dax, Goldie, and Kate. You guys are all welcome.
You're welcome, guys. If you would love to come on and repay us, that would totally be fine.
Absolutely.
Just even shout us out.
Yeah.
Even a shout out, we'll accept. But speaking of celebrities, we got some more celebrity dirt that's kind of the center around today's episode.
Yeah, it's kind of like a part two without last week. I was gonna say it's a part two without being a part two. We just kind of ran out of time. Crystal overachieved on some research, so
yeah, so we're carrying it on over to this week. So I guess the central theme of today's episode is a famous celebrity robberies. And kind of the main one that we're going to be talking about is the Kim Kardashian one. I'm sure you guys have heard about it, but there are a ton of details that I found through Vanity Fair that I'm going to go over with you guys. So that's kind of the main story for today.
Okay.
So, starting with Kim K herself and the Paris hotel heist. If you guys don't know the story, which I feel like you probably at least heard some gist of it, because I feel like it was just everywhere, all over the news. Were you going to say something?
I'd say when it came out, didn't they, like, at first they called it a robbery, and then they were kind of like speculating, like, was it a stunt, like a publicity stunt? And mm-hmm. like, there's been a lot of controversy around this whole thing. So,
oh yeah. And this definitely, because this goes over that too, how people thought it was a hoax. And so, yeah, we're going to get into that as well.
We're going to get into the meat of it.
Yeah, the nitty gritty. But yeah, kind of the gist of it, before we go into like details of it, if you don't know, she was in Paris at a hotel and she was basically robbed at gunpoint. So yeah, and I think that the gist of this is obviously because she's like one of the biggest, if not the biggest, like celebrities in the world. So I just feel like she's such an easy target for this. Not really saying like because she has so much security, so she's not that easy, but the fact that she's constantly followed and like her whereabouts can be so easily like figured out makes that part kind of easy. Yeah. So, like I said, again, this comes from Vanity Fair, so shout out to them. But yeah, so the call to the police came shortly after about 3 a.m. on Monday, October 3rd. Now, also, before I continue, there are a lot of obviously like French words, and like the hotel is a French name and different officers and stuff like that. So I'm gonna bear with me. I'm gonna try my best. I don't speak French. So I'm gonna try to say these things the best that I can. But yeah, don't hate me too hard if I sound horrible when I'm pronouncing them. But yeah, the call came Monday, October 3rd from 36 Quai des Orvois, which is like headquarters of the Paris Criminal Police. So pre-dawn calls from 36, they're not unusual for the Paris police chief, who his name is Christian Saint. But the one that morning that kind of got him out of bed early would prove to be a little bit different than the typical calls that he would get. So the call that he got, it said, Kim Kardashian, victim of VMA. And VMA for them means vol à main armée, which...
Oh, so she wasn't losing the VMA awards.
No, different VMA. That VMA is for armed robbery.
Gotcha. Just wanted to clarify that for the listeners.
Yeah, we're in France right now, people. So, you know, conventional time doesn't exist for the chief of judiciary police in the city of Paris, France, just because, you know, things are kind of always going. It's kind of like a New York vibe in France, you know what I mean? Things are always crazy, nonstop. He says, I know everything day and night. And apparently he didn't know who Kim Kardashian was. And obviously it's kind of funny just because she's just known like known to millions all over the world. But he had no idea who she was. And then he even asked his number two. He's like, who is this victim? And his night officer, he didn't know who she was either. Because like there was a bunch of buzz when they got this call before the news even came out, just like within their own like department and everything, of people like being like, it's Kim Kardashian, it's Kim Kardashian. So these guys are like, I don't even know who this is. So he got out of his bed, he went to his computer and he Googled her name. And he said, I quickly understood who she is. He said his computer was flooded with images and information about her. You know, he saw that she did reality TV. And after just a few quick Google searches, he says that he now knows almost everything about her.
He did this before he went there, like after the 911 call, he stopped to Google her.
Well, I think, I don't know that he necessarily went there immediately, because I think other police were there or whatever. And he's kind of just was like part of the investigative thing. So I think maybe he just like quickly Googled to be like, wait, what am I about to deal with?
Gotcha. I was like, it's an emergency, but wait.
But wait, let me Google real quick.
Let me read her Wikipedia real quick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he even said, which I thought was kind of funny, he goes, the personality of the victim, Kim Kardashian, is not like anyone else. He said, she has a lot of likes on Facebook. And I'm like, that's what you get from your Google search.
Oh my gosh.
Is that she has a lot of Facebook likes, which I feel like Facebook is not even like her main thing, but.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway.
Yeah, she's got a couple followers.
Just a couple, you know, here and there. At this point, when he's being interviewed, he couldn't give specific details about the robbery because at that point, the investigation was ongoing and like the perpetrators were still kind of, they were trying to figure out who did it. But at the beginning of his conversation, he definitely forcefully discredited the rumors that the robbery was somehow a hoax. So like you said, so many people thought this was fake. This was set up, you know, oh, she's just doing this for attention, this and that. But he really knocked that down and said, no, this is not a hoax. He says, at this time, there is no doubt about the reality of the crime. He also didn't doubt that the case would turn out to be one of the most unusual of his long and distinguished career. He said the heist was shaping up to be crazier than anything ever shown on reality TV, and it had already consumed so many man hours of the elite police of Paris just to like tame the paparazzi and all the craziness around her, just to even like, you know, start the investigation. Now, apparently crime is like not that roaring in Paris, which is good. He, you know, the chief said that times are tough for the thieves in Paris because I guess banks there have become basically impenetrable. You know, a lot of their cash is now dispensed by wire. And then like, you know, like the cash armored trucks, like they used to get raided a lot, but they have now been rendered like technically impossible to raid because the trucks are now like extremely well protected, I guess.
I also thought they had armed guards in the back of those. At least in America.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they stepped that up too, because I guess that used to be a big problem. And now those are like so protected that it's basically impossible for people to rob them. And so he says, so the professionals, aka, you know, the robbers and the thieves, he says, they now have a solution since their typical robbery spots are basically impossible now in Paris. He says they attack the person at home or in the street. He says it's called homejacking, robbing the rich in their residence, where because of France, I guess, has high taxes on personal wealth, jewels, and other valuables, and just a large amount of cash, they're often found. So old rich people are very vulnerable. He says, or business owners, restaurant owners, just basically people who have cash at home. He says it's quick. You can get a lot of money in a very short time. So that's kind of where a lot of their crimes come from nowadays. Now, he says, although homejackings have plagued France for many years, the new wave is perpetrated by, he says, a new type of gangster. He says they're born in France, but most of them are from North Africa, Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, and he says Romanian gypsies from France. He says they're smart, they're clever, and they know how to follow someone on the internet. They can also use violence, sometimes even when it's not necessary.
Greedy.
Very. And he says once they gain entry into the residence, they typically have like the same procedure that they like go through once they're in there. He says the homejackers often perform what is called saucinage. Basically, they treat you like a sausage in bondage. I heard you start laughing.
Because I read the definition before you said it, and like,
yeah. So basically, they like wrap them up, like just to like contain the people, I guess. But it just sounds funnier than if it was happening, I guess.
Sausage and bondage in the same sentence. I mean, right. This sounds like a whole different podcast. Let's keep going.
It's definitely an interesting way that he described it, but yeah, I mean, I guess I can kind of see it.
Sausage and bondage in Paris. This sounds like a novel waiting to happen.
Right? He says they put your family members in different rooms, tie you up, and ask each of you, where's the safe? You know, what's the code? And in a country where it's definitely difficult to find guns, the rope is one of the most dangerous weapons that a criminal can use. So this, unfortunately, was definitely the dark side of Paris into which Kim Kardashian, at that time Kim Kardashian West, landed by private jet at the airport at 10:40 a.m. on September 28th, accompanied by her assistant, Stephanie Shepherd, and her German bodyguard, Pascal Duvier, which I guess he was like real big guy. The fact that she only had one bodyguard is kind of surprising to me. If she was like constantly surrounded by paparazzi and like fans and stuff, like you'd think she would have like more than just one.
You would think, but I feel like Paris probably, because it wasn't her house there. She lives there, right?
No. So she was at a hotel.
Okay. For some reason, I thought she had a place there. I was gonna say, but okay. Even for Kim, who's in, like, fashion is their thing. I feel like they go to Paris Week, they do all this stuff, that she probably frequents there a lot, and maybe she felt safe because she goes there so much. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be, like, because obviously nothing like this ever happened to her before, so I feel like she probably didn't think this would happen.
Or if she's a regular at the hotel, like if she stays there every time she goes, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I guess don't ever underestimate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure now she's definitely probably beefed up her security plan. But yeah, even when they landed, a bunch of media people, paparazzi, photographers, they all just like met her at the plane and basically were surrounding her. And I guess for most stars, photographers in Paris are definitely some of the fiercest. They say that they should be avoided because people get like attacked in some cases. That's how like aggressive they are there. But I guess Kim's situation was different because during her September Paris Fashion Week, she just like greeted them with smiles. She posed for them. She thanked them. At times, it seemed she even dressed for them, or at least how it seemed to them. So it seemed like a very like pleasant interaction between her and the paparazzi. Like they were kind of doing this transactional thing. Like they were getting her picture and she was like getting publicity from it. The photographers trailed her black Mercedes van from the airport into the city. They were on scooters. They were on motorcycles. They were all just wondering, obviously, where she was staying and like wandering around that because that's where she was going to be for the next 6 days. So her van pulled up to the Hotel de Portales and the photographers were not surprised. They had staked out a lot of famous guests that stayed there. Some including were Prince, Madonna, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Marianne Cotillard and her partner, director Guillaume Canet, and Manchester United soccer star Zlatan. I don't know how to say his last name. I'm so sorry. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Basically a famous soccer player. And he actually lived at the hotel. But yeah, Kim and Kanye actually stayed there a lot of times, apparently, including shortly before their wedding in 2014. Now, an executive at one of Paris's grand hotels kind of like said, it's not really a hotel. It's a private residence transformed into a luxurious guest house. But basically, either way, its official name is the Hotel de Portales. And it's known as the No Address Hotel. And to be admitted to this hotel, you have to be rich, famous, or both. Or you have to be referred by someone who is rich and famous.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. It's
you can't
entrance.
Sit with us.
It's literally that's basically its motto.
Oh my gosh.
Its entrance is located in a historic 1839 Florentine Renaissance mansion. And rooms start, and this is like the cheapest because I'll tell you what they paid. So rooms start at $1,120 per night. And there is a one-to-one staff to guest ratio. I guess Jennifer Lawrence stayed there just days before the robbery happened. And then Leonardo DiCaprio was there about 2 weeks after. But yeah, it's kind of has more of like a home feel than a hotel. And apparently it's a prime target for a homejacking because they have very lax security. There's no CCTV cameras so that guests could like come and go in privacy. And there's a code on the entrance door that an employee would say is known by all because it had allegedly not been changed in 6 years, which is so bonkers to me. Like, how are you not going to change it for 6 years? I'm surprised not more, you know, robberies happen there. But they say that dozens of potential suspects know about this place because celebrities stay there for like a long time. So it's like very heavily known. And they think that they'll be free of cameras, free to, you know, get friends, visitors. But basically, you know, everybody knows about this place. Drivers, bodyguards, paparazzis, everybody. And that definitely makes hundreds of people who know all about this place, how to get in, the lack of security, and it makes it makes the investigation pretty complex and basically means you have like hundreds of suspects to try to figure out. Now, when Kim was there, she stayed in the Sky penthouse, which it like sprawls over 3,790 square feet. And it features like a 360-degree view of the city. And this one costs as much as $16,800 a night, which is just so wild. Like, and she was there for, I think it said 6 nights. Oh, so much money. But an hour after her arrival, she changed clothes, and the photographers kind of celebrated her entry into the city of light with so many camera flashes. Like, she was just like surrounded. She was changing her clothes about 3 times a day. Each new outfit kind of just showed off, you know, the amount of money that she had because she was wearing very expensive clothes. It was New York Fashion Week.
You expect anything less?
Right, exactly. So the second day that they were there, Kanye, he flew in for the day, but he had to go back to New York right away to get back to like his concert tour and be with their kids. So he wasn't there with her during this time. 3 days later, on Sunday, October 2nd, it was still, you know, just the same thing of the hustle and bustle of this time in Paris. You know, she was taking lots of pictures, going to fashion shows, dressing, changing, everything. And one of these nights, she went with her sister back to the hotel, and then they went to a showroom for a private dinner. The dinner began at 9:45 p.m. And when Kim and Courtney walked in, the room kind of went silent because all the guests were just like looking at them. Which I feel like that probably happens literally everywhere that they go. People probably just see them enter a restaurant and just like stare at them. So they had dinner, then they went to like an after party, and around midnight when the black Mercedes left the party, it kind of went back to the hotel and dropped Kim off. And I guess the photographers at this point didn't decide to follow her because the day was basically over, so she was truly like by herself. Courtney and her and Kim's assistant and like their friends decided to stay at the party. So Kim was just at the hotel by herself. Now, at this no address hotel, there's a single receptionist who works behind the glass entrance. And the door is like in the middle of a courtyard, which is usually open to the public during the day. But during this time in Paris, she walked freely through the street door and into the courtyard, which houses and an event space and a restaurant. A fashion week party was hosted by a Brazilian beer company. It was held there until the early morning hours just before the robbery. And upon arrival, the guests had to squeeze past Kim's black Mercedes van. You know, everybody was telling each other, do you know there's a Kardashian upstairs? One of the designers who was at the party with around like 80 other people said, it was like a joke. She's upstairs while we were partying. There was no bodyguard at the front door, no bodyguard inside. There was a girl at the entrance who asked, are you coming to the party? And if you said yes, she just let you in. So basically, so many people knew that she was just upstairs by herself, no security. And like, she clearly has a bunch of jewelry and like money because she's just has been out there flaunting it for like the paparazzi.
Which kind of shame on the front guest attendant.
Oh, absolutely. Like, to just be so freely letting people in and just being like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, just, it's just, like, irresponsible.
I feel like maybe she wasn't expecting the robbery to happen. But I feel like she's trying to get clout or get the cool girl, I'll let you come in, like, shout out. Show up here, Kim K's here, like she would get the, you know, like a little bit of the limelight for letting people in, you know what I mean? A
little, yeah, like she's not thinking about her like safety or her just respecting her privacy. Exactly, yeah. So by the time Kim got back to her room, it was about like 1 a.m. And soon after that, there were five bandits that arrived there. Some would say that they tracked their victim by embedding themselves in her paparazzi pack. But the investigator recalled that the pack grew so large that he couldn't even be sure. And in any case, you know, it had dispersed by the time that she arrived at the hotel. He says, you have to understand, we're focused on Kim. Others would insist that the thieves followed their victim, not like in alleyways or dark corners, but in the same way that her 85 million Instagram followers do, you know, on social media. So they're stalking her every move and like what other people are posting on where she's at to kind of figure out where she was. Her first Instagram post from Paris read, Parisian vibes. basically announcing her arrival to her followers at 2:31 p.m. On September 28th. And then she also posted her bodyguard and said, "This guy is always in my shot." So of the 15 Instagram photos that she posted from Paris, she just kept like posting them after that. And I guess she had 15 posts. Definitely the most tantalizing for thieves would have been one posted on the day after her arrival. She had, it was a selfie, and she had some of her jewelry shown in it. She had diamonds in her mouth and a 20 carat diamond ring on her finger, which I guess Kanye got her from Lorraine Schwartz. And that kind of came in to be around, just for the ring, about $4 million.
Oof.
Yeah. So she's fully, like, you know, displaying how much money, like, she just has on her. Not even in cash, but in just, like, the form of jewelry. And that post that she posted, the caption was only 3 blue diamond emojis. And, you know, kind of like the chief says, the thieves could have been following her on social media. You know, she gives information, a lot of information, a lot of the time when she's posting, at least at that point. Again, I don't know. I don't personally follow her. Like, no offense to her, but I just don't. So I don't know if she's changed the way that she posts since this happened. But, like, I guess back then she would just, like, constantly be, like, showing off everything that she had and, like, also showing off where she was, basically. If not at live time, like, very close to, like, when she was there, she would post about it. Later, others would contend that the robbers were amateurs, basically people who knew nothing about her or much less her social media presence. But no one disputes their mode of transportation, which convinced Parisians that they not only knew Paris well, but well enough to avoid traffic, security cameras, you know, prying eyes, and any easily traceable evidence. I guess they came and departed by bicycle. And if you ride a bike in Paris, the investigator says you have to know Paris.
Because what if they were ringing the little bell as they drove away?
Oh my gosh. But yeah, like, because there, I guess bicycles are virtually untraceable. You know, there's no license plate or registration. Basically, all of them pretty much look exactly the same. They're easily hidden or destroyed. And if you're wearing, like, a helmet and you're just looking down, you know, they go undetected. Nobody really thinks twice. They just think somebody's, like, out riding a bike. The chief says this is the first occurrence of a bicycle being used in a major robbery, which is kind of interesting since they just said how easy it would be to, you know, get that. But
yeah, no, that they took jewelry and money. It wasn't like they were taking big screens and, you know, stuff they had to carry.
Yeah. So, like, if they had backpacks, it'd just be easy to just throw that all in there and then, you know, ride away on the bike. So, various accounts of what happened next have just gone completely nuts throughout the international media. But the most complete versions came from London's Daily Mail, as well as from Les Parisiens and Paris Television, whose reporters were the first to study this video that they had that was captured by a security camera near the No Address Hotel. So at 2:18 a.m., the camera showed three men riding toward the hotel on bikes and wearing fluorescent security bibs. 14 minutes later, two more stealth silhouettes appear on foot, and a minute later, a sixth man making a gesture to hide his face under his hood appears. So the thieves might have come and gone with the night, and the story of the robbery would have been only known by the police and the Kardashians until the case was solved and, like, the robbers were caught. But then at this point came the strangest character thus far, which was a man who had been held at gunpoint and tied up with Kim during the robbery. He was the hotel's night receptionist, and he was now an anguished soul in this case, not because of his own brush with death during the robbery, but I guess because he was so worried that Kim might think ill of him, which is so funny to me. Like, you'd think he would be more worried about, like, being held at gunpoint than, like, what she thinks of him. Because a few days after the robbery, a website reported that Kim had told the police that the concierge was very calm during the robbery. And I guess the word calm kind of, like, raised some red flags for people, you know? They thought, did it mean, like, uncaring? Or did it just mean, like, afraid? I don't know. Either way, I guess it didn't sit well with the night receptionist. He was kind of upset about what they wrote. And he says that he was calm because he was held at gunpoint and it was his way to save his and her life, I guess. He was just trying to, like, remain calm. But the way that they wrote it, like, really brushed him the wrong way.
Maybe he felt like they made him seem like a wuss, or like he, you know what I mean? Like, he was weak because he didn't fight back type feel.
Yeah. To
it. Like, it maybe he felt like it took away his man card a little bit.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. And, like,
but, it was like, I mean, if you got a gun to your head and you have no weapon, like, you're pretty much going to do what they tell you to do.
Oh, exactly. Like, what else are you going to do? And it bothered him so much that, like, he thought she, like, was having, like, these feelings about it. He wanted to, like, convey his own feelings to her. He obviously had no contact information for her, so he asked the editor of that magazine to publish a letter to her, on the Closer magazine website, and kind of just to let her know how he was feeling. Which is interesting, but it read, "Dear Kim, when you feel the cold steel of a gun at your neck, it's the moment when remaining calm can mean the difference between life and death, both our lives. I hope you are feeling better." Like, that's so weird to me. Like, I don't know if how you felt about, like, that, but to me, that just seems like the weirdest thing to, like, publish and write and put out there.
Yeah, if you're going to write to her, I probably would have made it sound a little bit more personal, you know, like, "Dear Kim, I hope you're recovering well. I'm so sorry, yada, 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 you know, I wish I could have, you know, you may think I could have did more," or I don't know. I feel like he could have explained himself a little bit better. That seems like he's just, like, going straight to the point, like, more of defense mode, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's just very weird. And he actually signed the letter with the pseudonym The Knight. And this letter, like, went all around the world. But he did not get a response from Kim. I mean, unsurprisingly to me, because it's just kind of weird. So he was a 39-year-old man from northern Algeria who later said he had lived through the Algerian terrorist period. And he was familiar with the horrors of death and mayhem. He did go public using only the name Abdulrahim. He left his job. He did several interviews, which, you know, by French law, he had the right to do since he also was the victim of a crime. He even interviewed with Vanity Fair, and he elaborated, "What pushed me to go before the media was the enormous amount of false speculations which did not stop, and especially that they were directed at Kim, accusing her of inciting the incident for insurance purposes. He explained that he didn't work directly for the hotel, but for a security enterprise, which works at the hotel. But generally speaking, he says it was his principal workplace. He says he also worked in several other important locations in Paris. And he was also a doctoral student, just as a side note. But that was kind of his main place of work that he would go to. So according to him, he talked to Entertainment Tonight, and he says three men appeared at the glass door of the hotel, and he was there thinking they're all black, you know, outfit indicated that they were French police. So he opened the door, and quickly there was a pistol at his back and cuffs on his wrists. "Where are the security cameras?" one of them asked him, to which he responded that there were not any. The thief replied, "Are you kidding me?" And then he asked how many rooms were in the hotel and if any had any safes. So he told them there were 11 residences, and the robber said, "Oh, that is nice. We will do them all." So the night receptionist says they were not professional at all. He estimated their ages to be between 40 and 50. He says they seemed confused, like that they were improvising this. They told him to not panic, that they were just there for money. They asked him about Kanye West, and he told them that he said the rapper is not here. And he was, like, upset, I guess. He says, "Don't play with me like this. I mean, the wife of the rapper."
Well, then say what you mean. I mean what you say. You said the rapper, okay? Don't get all testy with Abdul.
Yeah, don't get it twisted with him. He's just trying to help you out. So the robbers decided to hit the Sky penthouse first, where Kim was awake in bed. She was in a white bathrobe by herself. Her longtime bodyguard, Pascal, who had been at her side throughout the entire week, he had been sent off to guard Courtney and Kendall. They were at a nightclub.
Damn, and the nightclubs.
I know. They were out. They didn't get started until 1.
See, Mom, this is what happens when you have to share with your sisters.
Exactly. Like, I just share with their own bodyguards. They honestly mine could.
First. Sorry, I don't mean to make jokes of it, but I mean, come on, they should all be able to afford their own security.
Literally, exactly.
I mean, if we're going to be cheap and we're going to cut corners, security is not the place to do it. I'm just saying.
No. Like, maybe get rid of some of the jewelry and, like, put it towards, like, more security. Or, like, actually get a cheaper room with higher security, because there's probably more.
We hear the Day's End works, okay? It's doable.
They have cameras there. I don't know what's going on with this place, but. So the wooden door to the suite had a single lock. It had no bolt. And the thieves marched the receptionist to the door. Basically, they were like holding him by like the scruff of his neck, and made him open it with a key from the front desk. So at this point, Kim hears someone in the suite, and she's saying hello, but nobody replied. And in an interview that I had seen her talking about this, she says that she thought that like it was Courtney like coming home or like getting in from being out or whatever. But then nobody replied. So she was starting to get nervous at that point. So after that, two of the men burst in and she just started screaming. And one of them pulled her out of the bed. He attacked her, holding his gun in her face. She was crying. She was screaming, saying, "Don't kill me. I have babies. Don't kill me, please. I have babies. I'm a mom. Take whatever you want." She was wearing a white bathrobe and her hair was tied up. Now, a letter from her attorney, Martin Singer, to the Huffington Post, which was obtained by TMZ, said that both Kim and the concierge believed that they were going to be killed at any moment. Like, they both thought that they were probably going to be shot. Now, the night receptionist, he became the hostage negotiator and translator. He says, "I tried to calm her because the guy was crazy. He was screaming, and also she was screaming, and he told me to shut up. I told her, shut up, please calm down. When I tried to calm her, she asked me, 'Are we going to die?' And he told her, 'I don't know.'" So the thieves started demanding the money. They started just shouting, you know, "Money, some money, some money." But she only had around 1,000 euros. And she believed that he was there for the ring. So she handed one of them her 20 carat diamond ring. I guess the guy takes it, picked it up and kind of like examined it and said, "It's nice," and put it in his pocket. So to me, that doesn't really seem like he knows that much about the ring and how much it's worth. The thieves then bound her wrists and ankles, repeatedly asking her for money. And after she began screaming, like one thief taped her mouth shut with a long piece of tape and kind of just like wrapped it all the way around her head. She was carried into the bathroom where she was placed on the floor. They were apparently ready to move on to the other 10 residences, but Kim's cell phone lit up with a call from her security guard, Pascal. And once the night receptionist saw this, he said, "I told them, you know who's ringing right now? It's her bodyguard. If she doesn't answer, he will come with police." So basically, he's kind of like helping the situation by like scaring them to be like, "You better get out of here because her bodyguard and the police are about to show up here." So their job was cut short, and the thieves left with a score beyond their wildest imaginings. Like, they got more than they probably thought, because they got the 20 carat diamond ring and a jewelry box containing 12 other items whose total value has been estimated at $5.6 million. So, having been in the building for only 49 minutes, they left. A few of them left on their bikes, some exposing their faces to an adjacent business's security camera. And the bag with the jewelry hangs from the handlebars of one of the thugs. And the bag appears to contain Kim's stolen jewelry. The next day on the Rue Tronchet found her platinum cross, which was worth an estimated $31,000, on the sidewalk near the hotel, and turned it into the police, who, according to the newspaper, deduced that one of the criminals had probably fallen off of his bike while they were trying to get away and they lost that piece of jewelry. So, escaping her like bondage being tied up, she found her longtime friend and stylist, who had been asleep in the downstairs bedroom and had locked herself in a bathroom after hearing the commotion. The police at this point, they had already called Pascal and Courtney, and they arrived a few minutes after the robbery, police sealing off the crime scene, gathering evidence, and interviewing the victims. After signing a statement, Kim was able to leave the country that morning. You know, she was like, "I need to get out of here." An investigating judge was appointed to the case to work with both the prosecutor and Kim's attorney. So on the morning after, in the hothouse atmosphere of all the Paris fashion shows, the robbery was debated like a trend or like a new designer. Like nobody at this point cared about Paris Fashion Week. Everybody was talking about this robbery that just happened. You know, because of the star status of the victim and the value of the jewelry, the case is at that point being handled by the elite Paris crime unit, which was known as the BRB, a brigade of 100 plainclothes officers specializing in armed robberies and organized crime.
Also known as, and be right back.
That too. I love the, you know, the different acronyms we got.
VMAs, BRBs.
And the BRBs were led by Madame Commissioner Agnes Zanardi, who was an expert in the smash and grab jewel robberies that have just, I guess, plagued luxury jewelry shops throughout Paris. So Kim, she at this point hired one of the most famous lawyers in France, Jean Vail, who was, his clients have included former French presidents, L'Oreal heiress, and former International Monetary Fund chiefs. So he kind of represented a lot of major people in France. So she made sure to hire the best. 2 weeks after the robbery on French television, Vail said that Kardashian West would return to France if she was summoned by the judge. In another TV interview, the attorney said, "I found her particularly calm, serene, in a matter that must have upset her very much. When we know the conditions in which she was actually assaulted, tied up with a gun towards her, we will see what happens next." So Chief Scent, he says he's very confident when he's asked about the pressure he and the BRB are under to catch the thieves. You know, the pressure is definitely intensified considering that Paris has lost an estimated $1 billion in tourism revenue since the 2015 attacks. He says it's important because of the implication, you know, people are thinking, is Paris safe? And they want people to know that it's safe to travel there. You know, he says it's important for people to travel there for their economics. So that's another reason why they're very, you know, strained on wanting to solve this case. He says that indirect victims of the crime were the photographers of Paris who were robbed of their revenue with her departure, which is kind of funny to me to say, just because, like, I get it, they lost picture opportunities of her leaving, but like, I think her leaving and being safe is kind of more important than like the paparazzi getting shots of her, but that's just my opinion. Now, after they did some deep investigation, they came to the realization that there were 12 people they found involved, and they have finally been charged in connection with the 2016 Paris robbery. Apparently, the intruders had reportedly been plotting the burglary for years, and the ringleader of it has since revealed in court documents that her that enabled them to plan the heist in its entirety. So basically, that was the starting point for them, the motivation of robbing her. In the early stages of the investigation after the robbery, the French police said that her use of Snapchat may have alerted the robbers to the specific jewelry that she had with her, and also the fact that she was alone in the hotel room. I kind of was reading also that after this happened, after basically just immediately after being robbed and everything that went down, and after these men have been caught, she's definitely changed her approach to how she posts certain things on social media, like not posting as many like flashy pieces of jewelry, not giving away her location as freely, and just kind of being a lot more tight on security. So this whole thing definitely completely changed how she lives her life and how she like tries to protect herself so that nothing like this happens in the future. But yeah.
I mean, like I said, days in, They'll even leave the light on for you. That's, what is that for security?
That is what I'm saying. Like, so much higher security there and so much cheaper. Like, what?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So think twice before you stay at, you know, some luxury place. If they don't have cameras and it's known to be like a super expensive, exclusive place where like rich people stay, but yet everybody freaking has the door code basically that doesn't change in like 6 years and they're just letting people in and out. Maybe, like, you know, take a second and really think about if you should stay there or not.
Saying again, days in, have enough drinks, you won't even feel the springs in your back.
That's what I'm saying. I would take the springs over everything that happened to her.
I just put it out there. You know, maybe some advertisement for you guys too, you know.
Today's episode sponsored by Days In. Oh my gosh. So that's really the takeaway of today's story. Just stay at the Days In.
Or don't share your freaking security with your sisters.
That also. Like, maybe each have your own if you're going to separate.
I blame mom for that because mom probably made them share.
Mm-hmm. Trying to budget. Guarantee, though, now they all have their own after that.
Oh, for sure.
But yes, guys, that was the Kim Kardashian robbery story in great detail.
Well, thank you, Kay King, for taking us through the story of Kim Kardashian and Paris.
You are welcome.
You know what they say about my daughter, too. You know, my Paris word is, I like to call her Elise Compitante. She can't even pack her own suitcase.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's from Home Alone.
You always know the quotes. I don't know quotes. Come on, you know this
one. Kevin, you know what the French say, Elise Compitante.
Man, you should have read this story. You got the fresh French accent. Oh, God. Down.
No. Although my ancestors did come from France, those cookies I make at Christmas time.
See, look at you, got some French in you. I don't have any French in me.
Usually it's German.
I knew you were going to go somewhere with that. I was just waiting for it. I knew it, though.
Well, it's been a blast, as always.
Yes. But it was a long one, filled with lots of details. So we will leave you guys off here.
And what would the show be if I didn't leave you guys with a little bit of singing or a little bit of music as we end the show?
Love it.
So on this note, you guys enjoy, and we got to go.
Stay creepy.
What is it? Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Is that French?
Au revoir. I think so. I
don't know. We're going to roll with it. And then, no, we got to go. Bye.
Bye.
Where's all my soul, sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh. Yeah.